World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. We're running out of December, aren't we? The 30th day of December. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Steve Deck's in town. Steve always comes around. You know, we're trying to get that camper that Steve gave to us. We're trying to get it upgraded or roadworthy so we can get that thing down to the folks down in North Carolina, wherever they need it. So appreciate Steve being around for a couple of days and just appreciate his willingness always to serve. A lot of stuff. Mondays are sometimes the worst because I got a lot over the weekend to try to get you all to consider and think about. And wondering how we got in the mess that we're in, where a quote I used as the show began. Thomas Jefferson said that when the government fears the people, there's justice. I'm paraphrasing. And when the people fear the government, there's tyranny. And I was just thinking this weekend over a lot of different things. For instance, let's take let's say you need whatever a prescription drug is, prescription drug. Think of the hoops that you got to get through to be able to get a prescription drug and get somebody official to be able to write you that prescription and all the control that goes on that thing. I'm doing that because I jumped on, got a prescription for, I don't know what it is. Anyway, and I just look around at government control. How we got government control? And the scripture says that they heap up heavy burdens. Spencer, see if you can find that. Then that'll be a catch if you can find it. Heaping up heavy burdens. That's what the Pharisees, that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. And it says, you heap up heavy burdens on people. One of the things I want to talk about today, because it just kind of popped into my head, is usury. Usury. Guys, know what usury is? We don't even use that term anymore. Did you know usury was prohibited in the Bible? Prohibited? Usury? Spencer's digging around right there real quick. Spencer, see, while you're digging around there, I don't know if Cowboy Dave's out there. I'll get to him here in a second. Pull up number seven for me real quickly, Spencer. Usury. We call that interest. Now, let me stop you a second. When we borrow money, when American citizens borrow, when the government borrows money, who do we borrow it from? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about the fact that our government literally prints money out of thin air? They create dollars out of thin air and then charge you and I interest. That's a pretty good gig, isn't it? Isn't that a pretty good gig? You get to make up money, just print it, and then you give it to people and say, oh, by the way, you owe me 8% on that. For 30 years, you owe me 8% on that money for 30 years. You know, Jesus called them the money changers. Did you find that, Spencer? I don't know you were looking for it. Didn't find it. I know where it is. Matthew, that doesn't matter. Money changer. So what is usury in the Bible? I know I'm writing down Jack's row here today. I know I am. But what is usury? Usury is, by modern definition, the illegal practice of lending money at unreasonably high rates of interest. Stop a minute. If Gene comes to me and says, hey, Coach Dave, could you loan me $20? And I say, yeah, Gene, I'll loan you $20 if you pay me back $21. Gene says, oh, I'll give you, yeah, okay, that sounds good to me. I'll do that because it's small. But at what point did we get to the, when did we get to the point where everything you borrow, there's a high rate of interest on it? And who gets that money? Where does that come from? Usually, usury is usually carried out with the intention of the lender or userer gaining an unfair profit from the loan. The modern slang term for usury is loan shark. Am I hitting a nerve here with anybody, or is this just me today? You understand that we are in trillions of dollars in debt because of usury, paying interest on money, unrighteous interest on money. By the way, I'm going to make you mad now. Just got to tell you the truth. Jesus flipped over the tables in the temple because they were money changers. He called them money changers. Now, what is a money changer? Well, money changer is usury. I'm taking this over. I think I had money changer looked up over here because I want you to understand what we're dealing with. Money changers. Somewhat complicated, the matter is, in fact, that of before the creation of usury laws, usury could refer to interest in general. Now, usury refers to exorbitantly high interest rate. Hey, let me ask you something out there, folks. What is a high interest rate? Is that 4% on a loan? Is it 6% on a loan? Is it 8% on a loan? Is it 10% on a loan? Or is it 20% loan shark? What is it? What is it? And let me ask you something right now. What are you paying on your credit cards? Anybody know what you're paying on your credit card interest?
28,
32%. Some of them, huh? It's craziness, right? Crazy, crazy, crazy. And so they run up all this debt. Where do they borrow from? Where does the American government borrow money from? Are you out there, Jack? Where does the American government borrow money from?
Itself.
Well, they borrow it from the Federal Reserve. Who the heck is the Federal Reserve? The Federal Reserve
is a private bank.
A private bank, a bunch of bankers that print money and then charge interest on it. And so we say, boy, the American government is $30 trillion in debt. Somebody help me out here. Who had $30 trillion to loans? Other than it was created out of thin air, right? Are you with me? In the Old Testament, the Israelites were forbidden for charging usury or interest on loans to fellow Jews. Isn't that amazing? But they were allowed to charge interest on loans to non-Jews. Uh-oh, making people nervous. The earlier iterations of the law, somebody say, Coach, I never read this before, Coach. I never knew this was in the Bible. You don't have to. The earlier iterations of this law in Exodus 22:25 and Leviticus made it clear that deals with loans made to fellow Israelites who were experiencing poverty and having to pay back the loan with usury or interest would only put them further into debt and was not beneficial to the economy. Loans to foreigners, however, were considered more of a business deal. And such loans were seen as international commerce and therefore allowed. This law served as a reminder to the Jews that those in need is something that should be done without expecting anything in return. This is at the heart of where we are, folks. This is the heart of what's going on right now. The whole economic system, why we're in debt, all of this. Because why? The bankers are getting usury, which the Bible forbade. However, Jews were allowed to charge interest to non-Jews. Wow. Many of the loans that we are familiar with in modern times come from banks. The Bible doesn't say much about this. While the Bible does not prohibit the charging of interest, it does warn against becoming too concerned with money, telling us that we cannot serve to both God and money, reminded that the desire to be rich leads to destruction, yada, 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 yada. In addition, God's wisdom included a warning not to take advantage of the plight of the poor. Would anybody think that the Visa is a loan shark? Anyone want to raise their hand and say, yep, they sure are. They sure are. Visa's a loan shark. They send you zero interest credit card for 6 months, and then all of a sudden it goes to 20, whatever, right? Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. I wonder how many of you watching right now, we don't like to talk about money. I wonder how many of you guys are in debt because of this very thing right here. Usury. Hi, honey, my wife came down. And we don't even understand it, right? So we say the Federal Reserve raised interest rates today. What? What do you mean they raised interest rates? Well, say, Coach, they're doing that because they're trying to control the overinflation in the economy. Friends, every time you print a dollar, you cause an inflation. What are you talking about? Huh? What are you talking about? They want to give you you could get a house loan for 30 years. Spencer. Oh, I don't have time to go through this. I don't. You understand that two-thirds of your mortgage, at the end of the day, two-thirds of your mortgage was interest. When you pay off your loan after 30 years, two-thirds of the loan was interest. You know that? See, they don't teach finances in schools anymore, do they? And so we're burdened. And Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you weighty burdens on people. You can't get out from under it. And now they tell us that we owe $30 trillion. Time out a minute. To who? Who had $30 trillion that they loaned us? Oh, the printing presses did. The printing presses had $30 trillion. And so they loan it to, see, it ain't even money. It's just numbers. It's just numbers. And it's kept us in this. So here's where I'm going today, okay? Here's where I'm going. Some of our governmental systems have to collapse. We all know about Jacera and Nacera and all that kind of stuff and rebooting and Bitcoin. Can I tell you why that's going to happen? Because the system that we have set up is crashing. It cannot continue to go on. It can't continue. We can't pay $30 trillion in debt. We send money to the Ukraine. Where do we get that money? Where do we get that money? It's printed money, right? Say, Coach, why are you even talking about any of this? Because until we understand that some of these things that we have taken for granted are wicked and that we need a reboot in so many different areas. Can I tell you something? I don't know how much to trust Donald Trump. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. Is he part of the system? I think he's probably part of the system. Would all of you agree that He who has the money rules the world? So who is really ruling the world? Those who have the money. Where's the money? Well, usury. Oh, I got a lot of stuff in. I got some hands up. Let me get to them real quick because they're probably important. Come on in, Paul.
Hey, Coach. You know, it was interesting. You're talking about interest and all that. I was on my job the other day, about a week ago. I was speaking with a man. He's a Muslim, and somehow we got into conversation about what he does. He owns a check cashing business, and he says that what I do is I don't charge interest on my loans because it's against my religion. I just said, say that again. He said he doesn't charge interest on his loans because it's against his religion. And I just thought it was very interesting.
Wow. You know? He makes it some other way, though, doesn't he? I mean, there has to be some other way he does it.
Folks, yeah, he probably charges fees, but I know I have a guy at my church that owns a check cashing business. He doesn't charge interest. There's fees that they processing fees, but he doesn't charge interest on the loan. It's like the man I was talking to, he said that if I loan you $100, it's $100. You know, that's what you pay.
So, Paul, the way it is right now, we know this, right, folks? When you get a mortgage loan from the bank, it's a 30-year mortgage loan, you pay the interest up front before you pay back, right? You pay the interest up front. That's why if you get a mortgage, I don't know. Hey, Spencer, I don't know how smart you are if you can figure this out. If you borrowed $100,000 for 30 years at 6% interest, how much interest would you have paid? Or what would you – let's say you buy $100,000. You know what? We don't teach this in school, folks. We don't teach this in school. So Spencer's got a mortgage calculator up there. I want you all to understand this. So your house price, put up $100,000, Spencer. $100,000, you're going to buy this house. and you're going to buy it at, I don't know what the rates are. Let's keep them low and say 7.5, which is crazy. It's crazy. 7.5. What's your update? You're going to pay $831 a month. And after 30 years, what are you going to own? So you're that 830 a month, right? Times 30 years. I don't know if you can do that. Times 12. That's 330 times 12 is 360. What's 360 payments of $831 a month? Can you do that, Spence? What's 30? What's 360? Did I say that right, friends? 30 years, 36 of 831. I feel like I'm losing something here. Am I boring you? Am I boring you guys? If I pay $831 a month, Spencer, for 1 year, 12, 831 times 12. Just do that in your head. Somebody do that in your head. $831 a month is for a $100,000 loan. $831 a month for 1 year. Somebody help me.
Coach, it's $8,400 for... In that number, 831, you have property tax and something else. So just the loan would have been $700 a month. It's
$9,972 a year.
Say it again, Dale.
$9,972 a year.
At $831 a month to pay off your mortgage for 30 years. So it's $9,972 per year.
Comes to $299,160 after 30 years.
And say that again, real slow. Put that up, Spence.
$299,000, basically $300,000.
$300,000 for your $100,000 loan. That's usury, folks. That's usury. And so we're trying to figure out, it's amazing because somebody said, man, I never knew this, right? No wonder there's inflation. See, no wonder they do all this kind of stuff. So a $100,000 house costs you $300,000. Hey, Steve, that's before taxes. That's before property taxes and all that stuff. Your $100,000 home costs you $300,000, and people will say, oh, what a great investment. Well, we made a great investment. We own our home. And then what they do is they inflate the value so you feel like you made, I'm sorry. Come on in, Kevin.
All right, so you know, in the Constitution, it forbids us to have a standing army, okay? Because the standing army can be used to oppress and put down the people, to subjugate the citizenry. But isn't it interesting that the founding fathers said that a central bank poses more of a danger to the citizenry than a standing army?
Why? Because if they capture you financially, you're in prison, baby. You are in prison, and that's what we're dealing with. So think again. So extrapolate this a little bit. Think about all those people down in North Carolina who still own mortgages and their house got swept down the river. Where does that replacement of that money come from, folks? Vinny, come on in. Hey, listen, hang on. Am I doing okay this morning? I think, this is stuff, folks, we don't even know this. Our kids don't even know this. We don't even know it. Go ahead.
So I said once before, what's the opposite of money, right? I've got a couple of answers, but interest, right? Interest is simply a grift. The only interest they have in the transaction is the interest that they're paid. It's all about that. Otherwise, they wouldn't care to even have the transaction go through.
So Vinny, what's the average rate now on a credit card? They're trying to get everybody on credit cards, right?
Right.
Well, 8%. If you got good credit, 12%. Do you understand? You understand what's going on? Gino's shaking his head. More than that, Gino? Depends on the credit card. 20%.
Yeah, I started out with a credit card and it was 11 or 12%. It's 20% today now. And I didn't do nothing to cause any problem.
Well, that's right. So this is usury. The Bible speaks against it. It's a sin. Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, not to mention that you need to have something to pay that loan if you qualify. You need a job. Does anybody know what the rate of jobs we're losing in this country? is, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you should see, I read an article this morning about the.
Johnny, you broke up, man. I want to hear what you're
saying. They can't make it. They can't make it.
Of course not.
Well, the dollar stores, the 7-Elevens are shutting down. I mean, they're talking now. If you want to go out for a nice dinner now, you can afford to go through Wendy's, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, people just don't have the money. And how can they charge all the exorbitant percentage price percentages on credit cards? People are living day to day on their credit cards. I just saw a sign up on a marquee. It was for groceries. Now accepting, it said, buy now, pay later for groceries.
Oh my goodness, right? For groceries. Now look, this, the dollar's not, I get Jack in here, get him going on it, because gold and silver, everything's supposed to be backed by gold and silver, right? It isn't. We don't teach finances to our children. We don't teach it. They don't want that exposed to what's going on. Yeah, Pete says, debtors' prisons, they're coming soon, right? They're going to come and you're going to have paid all this for 20 years on your house, and then all of a sudden you lose your job, and they're going to come and take your house, plus all that interest that you paid. And then they're going to tell you, well, your house is worth $400,000. You bought it for $100,000. You got, what a deal you got. See, it's all brainwashing, man. It's all brainwashing. Jeff Klein.
Coach, the subprime company I use, the loan people money to buy a car. And these people come in to buy these cars, and these subprime companies, they're broke. They can't go to CES. They can't go to First National. They can't go to a bank. So I try and tell them, I said, listen, you're going to pay thousands of dollars more for that $5,000 car. I said, it'll cost you $4,000 or $5,000 on top of that. It's crazy. You sure you want to do this? And I'll try and send them somewhere else. And so when they do this, this subprime can process up to, the record they have done before is 1,700 loans in one day at 24.9% interest. Per day they do them, 1,700. Had a guy call me a couple weeks ago. He said, JC, he said, I was looking at my paperwork. He said, I've been paying on this vehicle for 2 years. He said, my $7,000 car, I should owe $12,000 on it. How can that be? I told you when you did this, and they don't listen. Like, I don't care. I need a vehicle today.
Yeah, that's right. So Jesus, if you remember when Jesus went into the temple, why was Jesus mad when he went into the temple? Does anybody know? Would that be in Spencer? Maybe look that up. Jesus in the temple. Does anybody know what he was mad about? What did he do? What did Jesus do when he went into the temple? He flipped over the tables.
They were using it as a marketplace instead of a worship.
That's right. Yeah. He said, you've made my house a den of thieves, right? Den of thieves. So when Jesus went there, flipped over the tables, all that kind of stuff, said, this church here ought to be the most honest place in town, and it's not. You've turned it into a flea market. Don't get me into tithing. Don't get me going on to tithing. Dale.
Yeah, Coach, I don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not a dullest man either. Get the wisdom of the Lord. And we're two generations into doing this. It's not a boisterous, but you know what? I think it's biblical, Coach. You know that first off, not even my church is there any banks involved. I honestly, the last time I used a bank for anything was back in the 90s. And Coach, if a parent had $100,000 just because, ooh, that's my retirement ache, let me tell you what, you take that, you loan that to your children to buy their house, amen, right? And they pay you back. You don't got to do a 7% loan, do a 3.5-4% loan. Guess what your children are investing in? Their own inheritance. And then you teach them to make sure that they're going to do that for their children.
It's like, Dale, come on, man. This is so simple. But see, we can't do that because why? Because they've eaten away at our nest eggs. Can you go out right now and see what a hamburger is at Wendy's? And all? So they keep us in bondage through usury, which is what? Interest rates. Interest rates go up. They say they want to do it to cool down the economy. Really? Really? And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple, in the church, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, in other words, Jesus saw this and he was so angry that he went over and sat in the corner and counted to 20. And while he was counting to 20, he was making him a whip. He was so angry at what they were doing to his people. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he ran them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. No wonder they crucified him, huh? And he said unto them that sold doves, by the way, what's the dove a symbol of? Anybody know? Anybody know what the dove is a symbol of?
Holy Spirit.
Oh, the Spirit. They sold the Holy Spirit. And he said unto them that sold the Holy Spirit, take these things hence. Don't be doing this in my daddy's house. Don't you be doing that. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then the Jews said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Why are you doing this? Wow. So there's going to have to be a total and complete financial reset. It's coming, sure as we're sitting here. We don't know what that plan is. But are these people going to be held accountable for what they've done to us? Joe Allen, come on in.
Here's another little caveat to our interest rates.
Interest? Hang on, Joe. Interest is against biblical law. Go ahead, Joe.
What? So my wife and I just spent a week down Key West with our family down there. Not only interest rates, now insurance has come up with flood insurance. Any vehicles you're owning, and if you're in a flood zone area, your insurance is going to go up on your cars as well as your house. My cousin's house was $3,000 a year for flood insurance. It is now $9,800 a year.
Joseph, and here's one of the real big ones that we're not aware of, folks. Our life insurance companies are going broke. You know what broke them? Anybody know what broke them? Huh? I'm going to show you what broke them. Spencer, pull up for me modern med increase disease. The life insurance companies are going to go broke. Up on the screen. Here you go. Here you go. What's changed in the last 30 years? Disease or disorder. Here's the increases just since 1990. People having ADHD is up 819%. Alzheimer's up 299%. Autism disorders, 2,094%. Bipolar disorder in youth, 10,000%. Celiac disease, 1,000%. Chronic fatigue syndrome, 11,000%. Depression. Look at this, folks. Autoimmune disorders, 1,600%. Food allergies in children, 377%. Why? Because everybody's out to make a buck. Diabetes, 305%. I wonder if gout's in there, right? So what has changed over the last 30 years? Well, money changers. they don't care. There's no accountability. There's no accountability. Randy.
Hang on, Randy.
Because all these people that are putting this poison in our food and giving us these drugs, they're getting government support. It's a web of, I don't even know what. Go ahead, Randy. Sorry.
Yeah. So money changers are all in cahoots, aren't they, Coach?
Yes, they are, brother.
And so, Coach, the same writer, John, chapter 2 there, which you just had up, talking about the money changers were in. They'd taken over the outer court, which belonged to the Gentiles and the women. They had taken it over. They had pushed God's people out of the temple. today, Coach. But look, Coach, the same John that wrote chapter 2, he also wrote in chapter 10, and he called hirelings thieves and robbers.
Yes, he did.
Coach, on the same boat. You see that, how they are on cahoots? So, Coach, this is a hard one. How many of us has the zeal of God over these tables today? Are we complying, or are we being like, have the spirit of Christ and turning over the tables today? That's the question I'm asking myself, Coach. Am I putting enough tables over? Not happy with me or not?
Because, Randy, if you're high enough up on the pecking order, you profit off of this, don't you? So it comes at some point, somebody's at the bottom row. Somebody's at the bottom rung of this ladder. And as long as you're up on the part where you're doing okay, well, Jesus says, no, that ain't okay. That ain't okay. No. Those people, right? Keeping the heavy burden, same thing, right? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Wow. Dave Allison.
Yeah, so basically what we're talking about here is people that have gotten suckered unaware. And so the government wants to forgive student loans. And what the government admitted, we suckered you into getting this $100,000 education that you could have got for free at the public library.
Right.
But what they don't want to address is the crack addict, right? The colleges are still full of the people are getting suckered that can't do basic math, that can't understand what interest rates look like, they can't understand what they're going to pay when they get out of college.
That's right.
And so if they're going to forgive those loans, they might as well forgive mortgages, right? Let's go right down the row and just forgive everything, because we all got suckered. So this is the problem I have, and that they don't want to deal with the root cause. And so in my opinion, yeah, the banks are criminal, but the colleges make the banks look like a bunch of pikers. I'm telling you, that's my opinion.
I wonder how many of you people sound like Ross Perot. Wonder how many of you sent your children to college and they don't even know how to balance a checkbook. Anybody say amen? Now that happened to me. Me because why? They don't want you to understand finances, folks. They don't want you. That's why I got, where is this thing? I was just looking at it. Oh, here it is. Can't convince people. This is junk silver. You can't convince people this right here. This dime is worth $3.70. This dime. Why? Because it's silver. It's real silver. $3.70. But see, silver hadn't gone up. The dollar's gone down. The paper dollar ain't worth anything. And so people will say, oh, yeah. So look how much. Wow. Unjust weights and measures. It's unbelievable. We've allowed the money changers to be in control of the American government. Roger.
Oh, Dave, I don't know really what to add to everything that you've laid down, other than grave concern as a parent of our kids and our grandkids, because you can't keep this type of monetary gymnastics up. It is kick the can down. Nobody believes in a budget. Nobody believes in any type of accountability. And
just put it on the credit card, Roger. Just put it on the credit card.
But I think that's one of the reasons this whole Brexit thing started going is, our other countries, who are many of them are worse financial shape than us, they're tired of dealing with America because all we do is print more money. And it's really an unfair situation
for
them to deal economically with us. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, the real concern, and this is why I think you've got to be talking to your sons and daughters about this, and because I just don't know how it continues, even in my lifetime. I don't know how it keeps on going.
So, Roger, if you show up to Washington, D.C. to petition your government for redress of grievances, they throw you in jail.
You get arrested.
Yeah, that's where we are within this system. Okay, let me show you something because, hang on a minute. Let me get Randy in here, then Joe, then everybody hold off because I'm going to show you something else, okay? Go ahead, Randy, then Joe.
I like what I like the path Roger's taking us on, Coach, because if we will see now, right now, time that the BRICS countries are giving the middle finger to the Rothschild central banking system, if we can see that, Coach, we can depart from the wrong side on the right side. So, in other words, Coach, the demonization of Putin and a lot of those BRICS countries by the media and the propaganda that's against them really isn't the real reason. They're not perfect. I get it. But the real reason is, Coach, they want us to set their system. And if we don't see the facts and the writing on the wall, we're going to keep supporting this. So we have to see the BRICS has brought, I think God brought the BRICS about just to get us through this bondage of this financial system that's controlled our whole life. So thank God for the BRICS.
Amen.
We're not supporting all the evil summit that China's doing. But the point is, Coach, we have to get out of this financial system now or never. And I'm telling you, we better see the truth of this.
Okay, so I want to head to here in a second. Okay, Randy, I want to take that on here in a second. By the way, I got a text. My wife sent, I don't know who she got it from. Spencer, real quickly, pull up Luke. Luke 46, is that right? Is Luke, no. Luke 11, I'm sorry, Luke 11. Luke 11. Go to 46. Here we go. And he said, woe to you also, ye lawyers. Duck, Roger. For ye laden men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourself touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly, ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for that indeed killed them. And ye build their churches and statues. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send the prophets and apostles, and some of them they're going to slay and persecute. They ain't going to listen to you. That the blood of all the prophets which shall shed for the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Go to 52. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You've entered in not in yourself, and them that were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things with them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently to shut up. Boom. Amen. Amen. Who did I say? Paul Webb, then Joe.
Hey, Coach, you know, we actually do back our currency with metal. It's called the metal of the gun that, you know, how many countries have we overthrown? And we're talking about, you know, if you notice the wars that have happened in the last few years, these are countries that did not have central banks.
That's right. That's right. That's why they killed Saddam Hussein. He wouldn't get, you talk about a guy who was,
And Syria and now Iran, they don't have central banks.
No.
I mean, I might be wrong about that, but that's where a lot of our wars start.
So, Paul, you got me thinking, that's a dangerous thing. Jimmy Carter just died 100 years old, Christian Jimmy Carter. Do you have any idea some of the policies Christian Jimmy Carter put into place? See, there's a difference between the truth of the gospel and the liberalization of the gospel. And Jimmy Carter was a liberal Christian. He was for abortion, right? Jimmy Carter, for abortion. Joe Allen, come on in. Hang on, I want to get somewhere. Go ahead, Joe.
Here's a little bit of boots on the ground, too. So in our route going down to Key West of 75, going through Tampa and everything, so they build these homes down there on marshlands. They bring in dirt just to put a home up on it. So when this hurricane came, there's massive damage still down there. They have their septic tanks are 3 or 4 feet above ground. So all this hurricane stuff that hit down, you can imagine the people are crying about their insurance payments.
Companies are broke, Joe.
Right. And so it's not only flood insurance, it's just their basic house insurance on top of that.
So, Joseph, they're going to raise my insurance to pay for those people down south.
That's right. Ours just went up $30.
There you go, folks, baby. Okay, hang on here. So here's where we are. At some point, Spencer, I wrote Vengeance. Because everybody's worried about Donald Trump coming in and getting even. He's going to come in and going to attack his enemies. He's going to get even. And then people say, well, coach, we're not supposed to do that. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. Vengeance. Well, see, we don't understand the difference between vengeance and justice. Spencer, pull up justice first. Justice. Pause a second, friends. When Donald Trump comes into office here in however many days, how many of you have to raise your hand and say, yes, coach, I want justice for those J6ers? Anybody with me on that? Yes, coach, I want justice for them. Because whether you realize it or not, the government has issued vengeance against them. The government locked them up. That's vengeance. That's revenge that they've locked them up. And when then Donald Trump comes in and we say, hey, we want these guys to be rewarded for what you did to them. They say, oh, vengeance. Oh, he's vengeful. No. What's justice? The virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Practical conformity to the laws and to the principles of rectitude in the dealings of men with one another. Honesty, integrity. Folks, justice is getting what you deserve, good or bad. That's justice. Mm-hmm. That's justice, right? Justice. Lord loves justice. Now, hang on. Is punishing somebody for having done a crime vengeance? What is vengeance? Vengeance. Oh, Trump, he's going to come in. He's going to lock up all of his enemies. You mean like they tried to do to him? Is that what you're talking about? All of a sudden they want mercy? Vengeance is the infliction of pain on another in return for an injury or offense. I'm going to get even with that guy. See, look, friends, don't fall for this. Justice requires repayment of injury. That is what justice is. It may look like revenge. It may look like getting even. That's what justice is. Bill Dunphy, when they let him out of jail, how much did they owe Bill Dunphy? Anybody got a number? What they ought to owe Bill Dunphy for having been in there for? Anybody got a number for me?
Million. It's uncountable.
It's uncountable, Vinny. Vinny, is that vengeance or is that justice?
Boom.
Huh? If you drive your car through my living room, you repair my living room, not out of vengeance, but out of justice. When, let me see this here. Start again. Such infliction, when it proceeds from malice or more resentment, is not necessarily justice. It's revenge. When such infliction proceeds from a mere love of justice and the necessity of punishing offenders for the support of the law, it is vengeance and it is warrantable and just. In this case, vengeance is a just retribution, recompense, or punishment. In this latter sense, the word is used in Scripture and frequently used, applied to the punishments inflicted by God on sinners. Vengeance is mine. God said he will take care of sin, but not necessarily financial damage done to you. That's not God's business. That is justice. Anybody stroking with me today? Do you understand the difference? Because they're saying these guys should not be caught, brought to justice, because why? Well, that would be vengeful. That'd be vengeful. We're not supposed to do it. The Lord loves justice and judgment. So Bill Dunphy ought to get how much money? Here's the problem. Hang on. Yes, Jack. Restitution. Pull that up, Spencer. Restitution. Restitution. What is that? The act of returning or restoring to a person something or right of which he has been unjustly deprived. the act of making good or giving an equivalent for any loss, damage, or injury. The act of recovering a former state of posture. Has Bill Dunphy lost his business? Should he be repaid for that? Because I've told you before, government can't be a victim. Government can't be a victim. But they made it a victim. Now, my brain went dead. I had a great point I was going to make. Restitution. When people say you're after vengeance, no, we're after restitution. Now, here's the problem for me. Hey, Betty, if the federal government gives Bill Dunphy $2 million for what they did to him, you looking at me, Betty? Who pays that, Betty?
We do.
What a system, huh? What a system. They screw up and we pay for it. Huh? Should there be accountability for those who did that? Should there be restitution? That's why the insurance companies are going broke. Because they don't have enough money to pay for unnatural things that they shouldn't have paid for. Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm all over the place, but this all ties together. Let me see here real quickly. Usury. Make sure I got everything up here I wanted to say. Johnny, come on in. Go ahead, Johnny.
Perhaps if we could learn to be more accountable for our own actions in life, it would avoid all the troubles that we try to tackle and make everybody else pay the price.
That's right. I'm seeing it in my grandchildren. I don't know how many. We have 10 of them. I'm not bragging. We got 10 grandchildren. And I can't believe how many times, as I'm watching our grandchildren, how many times they disobey. And nobody does anything about it. And so when they come here, they're a little bit scared because I said it. I told you not to do that. And then I enforce it. And see, we have, in our American society, we have made love tolerance and acceptance. Everywhere you look, it's tolerance and acceptance. I told you not to do that. You understand? You're not to do that. Grampy said no. Do you understand that? If we don't do that, then we said, okay, I get it. Pull up Bobby Knight, number 8. I said, Bobby Knight, yeah. Everybody loves strong discipline. Might be some language in here. Hang on. Bobby Knight, the basketball coach at the University of Indiana. Go ahead.
Do look and you do listen. Bob Knight commands attention, and most of the time it's intentional. Former Notre Dame head coach and current ESPN analyst Digger Phelps sat down recently with Coach Knight, and the result is a 5-part special taking you inside the legend. Here's part 1 of our Sunday conversation with Bob Knight.
If you had to pick out one general, with all the military history at West Point and the history of the military, what general really impressed you?
Grant. Yeah, I think that if you study Grant, guy never lost. They talk about Grant as a butcher, that the North just threw men and men and men in the Civil War. Well, in engagements, and this will be fairly close, Grant lost about 10 people per 100 that he engaged in battle. Lee lost damn near 20, 19 maybe. So Grant lost fewer men. Lincoln made a great comment. You know, somebody was complaining about Grant drinking too much, and that's, you know, open to conjecture. A lot of that, I think, is probably grossly exaggerated, but Lincoln's comment was, well, find out what he's drinking and send it to the rest of my generals.
Good friend of mine, good friend of yours, said to me, ask Coach Knight why two things are breaking down, with kids today, work ethic and discipline. What has changed work ethic and discipline?
You know, one thing, that I think has changed is schools and parents. Like, I teach a class here still in the fall. You know, I mean, it isn't nuclear physics, but it's a class in teaching and coaching. And if you're going to teach school, you got to be there every day. If you're going to coach, you can't miss practices. So I try in this little way to get these kids to understand I can't miss it. I got this class on Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10 minutes after 10, and no matter what, I can't miss it. I mean, I just think I'm doing a little bit for kids by making them do that. And but we don't, parents, you were not as demanding with your kids as your parents were with you, nor me with mine, same thing. And we've lost too many parents today want kids to really like them, in quotes. You know, well, parents' first responsibility is to get kids to do what they should be doing. And sometimes that's a tough thing, and it's gotten tougher. Well, Jimmy doesn't have to be in at 10 o'clock. Why do I have to be in at 10 o'clock? Well, the main reason, Johnny, that you have to be in at 10 o'clock is because, God damn it, I tell you to be in at 10 o'clock. And that's it. My wife was reading an interesting thing last summer. Finally, I said, Karen, what the hell are you reading? She said, I'm reading an article written by a psychologist on today's education and how all this positive reinforcement has been a failure. You know, that's okay, Johnny. You didn't turn your homework in today, but try and turn it in tomorrow. You know, that's like saying, Billy, I know you've missed 7 shots in a row, but don't let that bother you. If you get another one, just take it. If you miss 15 in a row, don't. I've never been able to quite get a hold of that approach. And so I think that I say, well, what are they? Well, it's this positive reinforcement. We just got to go back to making demands on kids, she says. And she explains this a little bit further. She kind of moves her glasses down, looks at me over her glasses and said, you know, you've hung on long enough that you're back in style.
Let's get to the doghouse syndrome. I've had players in Digger's doghouse. Bob Knight has a doghouse, so to speak. Why don't fans understand or players understand this doghouse syndrome?
Kids determine who plays. Coaches don't. I mean, you and I don't. You didn't determine who the starting lineup at Notre Dame was going to be, and I don't determine what it's going to be at Indiana. The kids determine that through their play in previous games and their play in practice and their attention to detail and the kids that show you as a coach that they're going to do the best job on behalf of the team. But people lose sight of that.
You and I talk, when we talk during the season, we are
put playing. Put it in the chat. It's just a few more minutes long. So it comes back again to personal responsibility, meaning this. We see all these things that are going on, all these problems. We have children, we have grandchildren. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Why is it that we don't use those tried and true old values that we know work? Why do we allow them to continue to teach in our schools and pay in our colleges for them to teach foolishness to our children? Why? Why? Because we seem to have lost all power. All authority. Jesus said what? All power and authority is given to who? Who? Him. And who does he give it to? The church. Where's the church? Where's the church? See, it's a loop, right? It's a loop. It's a loop. We don't understand the bondage that government has put us in. Man made government. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our foundations are destroyed. As Jack loves to tell us, gold and silver. It's in the Constitution. It's the only money. It's the only money. And the Federal Reserve comes and changes the entire system, and we all suffer, and nobody rises up and does anything about it. Because if you rise up and do anything about it, it's whack-a-mole. You get arrested. That's the way the system works. Jeff, I'm kind of all over the place this morning, I know. It all connects. I'm so frustrated. We have all the power, all of the power, and we're not unified in any way, shape, or form. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's time to toss the chair across the court.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is. And there's going to be repercussions for it, right? You're going to get a technical foul. But by golly, if we just sit around and continue with the status quo, look where that has taken us. $30 trillion in debt. $30 trillion in debt. To who? To who? Who do I owe it to? Oh, the bank. They printed it. Visa. Visa. You own it to Visa. What? Yeah, 28%. Visa, you owe them. Where'd they get the money? Oh, they don't have any money. They don't have any money. They got digits. They throw digits there and they cover your debt. And then Jeff Nair is coming in.
Well, as long as we are led by our feelings and our emotions and not by the Holy Spirit and not by common sense or logic or our conscience, then that's what's going to get us in trouble. So I would say, like, ask a question now. How many people went into debt because of their feelings over the Christmas time just now?
Oh, man, huh? Amen.
Me. I'm one.
Yeah, I get it, man. I get it. Now, we did, but we'll pay it off. Right? We'll pay it off. It's. I'm telling you, right. Okay, really quickly. 24 things. I'm going to put this up here because I only got 5 minutes left. And then I'm going to put it in the chat so you can follow it yourself, okay? 24 things that you will desperately need coming up, okay? Now, scroll on down. 24 things. Go on down. Here's the 24 things you're going to need, folks. Right there. Whoa. Emergency food to feed your family. You got that? A water filtration system to clean your water. Do you have that? A ferro rod for starting a fire. An extensive first aid kit for health emergencies. I just got one online for $40. An emergency supply of antibiotics. Do you have that? A multi-tool that has pliers, a knife, and a saw, and a screwdriver. You have one of those? A solar-powered generator. You know, I just bought from all of our family? Solar-powered phone chargers. You guys have one of those? I sent it out yesterday, charged the phone right up, put my phone in, boom. If the grid goes down, you will not be able to charge your phone. Your communication is gone. A solar-powered generator, a solar flashlight, an emergency shortwave radio so that you can stay informed. Fishing gear. What? Oh, yeah. What if all of a sudden you had to fish to eat? Seeds for planting a garden. A wood stove. An axe for cutting wood. A quality shovel. Paracord, duct tape, a hand crank can opener. Vinny, boom! A hand crank can opener. A very warm winter jacket for every member of your family. A durable backpack for every member of your family. A compass. A good pair of binoculars. Wool blankets. A Bible. A way to protect everything that you have stockpiled from the marauding hordes that will be desperate to take all of it away from you. Boom, huh?
Boom.
Look, folks, I'm telling you, take that list, put it in the chat, take that seriously. Do you have those things? Do you have those things? Because the one thing you're going to need is the one thing you don't have. You know how that goes. Joe Allen, quickly, then Craig.
So this past hurricane, 10 days without power. I used half that list.
Uh-huh. You had no idea it was coming either, did you, Joe? You had no idea that hurricane was coming, and it hit, and thank God you had some of that stuff to take care of yourself. Calamity is one storm away, crazy. Come on, Craig.
When Jimmy Carter took office, it was so cold. One of the first things he did as president is told everyone to take their temperatures and turn it back to 65 degrees. Almost ran out of fuel.
That's true. Okay.
So he was elected in 76. On January 20th, 1977, he stood there where Trump's going to do. And the nation is going to be in the same situation that it was about 49 years ago, which would be a jubilee.
Because the devil operates on lack, doesn't he, folks? And so when there's enough lack, then our side is forced to do something to respond. And unfortunately, many of our responses have been temporary fixes. I think we are in for the most unbelievable 12 months we can ever imagine. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. Because boat's about to be rocked. What are you going to do if there's no Coach Dave live tomorrow? Boom, the grid's down. sayonara, baby. See in 5 years when they get it back up. You got to all think that way. Wow. Solar chainsaw. Wow, Jack. Go on and on and on. See you tomorrow. It's all over the place today. See you tomorrow.